Day 5 of the February 99 7-day retreat in Springwater. Several things that are in the mind to bring up. No decision has been made yet which one it will be first. Maybe this question of urgency, which we left before the free day. Someone saying, if I remember it correctly, the only thing I miss here is some sense of urgency or some feeling of urgency. Of course, this person said themselves, somebody close to one dies, or one may get an illness, then maybe there is some urgency in and of itself. So do we have to wait till someone dies or one comes down with maybe an incurable sickness to feel some sense of urgency for what? Because we went into the call it conditioning that has taken place in the mind for a lot of us by participating in traditional spiritual work or reading books, that there is such a thing as enlightenment, call it what you will, liberation, emancipation, freedom. And if I only felt sufficient urgency to get that, then maybe the problem of life and death or the question about the meaning of this life would be solved. Also, I would sort of, in a way, do my duty as a human being to come to the depth of understanding about what I am, what this world is, and the settling of confusion about it. If this is a strong belief throughout the system, then there is a wanting to get there, wanting to achieve that, and being ready for any kind of push or urgency that comes from the outside, demanding it, expecting it, treasuring it. maybe take some turning around of thinking, of established thinking. But how does this turning around of established thinking take place? It cannot just be an influx of new ideas. There has to be some directness of realizing that there is in a human being like you and me some kind of urgency to clear up the mess we're in. Putting it very strongly. To clear up the confusion because it comes to the point of being unbearable. One finds oneself alienated from oneself, from other people, maybe even from one's natural environment. Being so caught up in oneself, one's problems, the way things aren't going, even though I would like them to go this way, they're going the other way. I would like people to be this way, but they're that way. We're at loggerheads with each other, in conflict. And then the guilt about what I did that brought the mess about. The mind is always ready to find fault, either in the outside world and the way people are and situations are, or the way I am, the way I acted. I shouldn't have acted this way. And with those thoughts, a barrage of guilt feelings about having done wrong. And then maybe again, some innate urgency to come to clarity in this wilderness of fearing, wanting, confusing. Opposing, resisting, fear of being taken advantage of. Isn't there, can we agree on that by looking inwardly with the aid of memory? Maybe right now things are clear. That when there is confusion, the thicket of confusion, there's also the urge to clarify, to understand, to find some peace in the midst of turbulence, some quietness, in the midst of so much noise of opposing voices inside and outside. Of course, it's not only the turbulence of one's own self-involvement, self-investment. I'm not saying that judgmentally. These are facts we all can watch operating. Not only that turmoil, but the vulnerability to sorrow in this world. I just got a letter from someone who had spent some time in Springwater and coming back home. Very open, very vulnerable. Almost crushed by the misery she sees in people around her. She took some contact up with an orphanage and the misery of the children, their despair, their depression, their hopelessness, and her inability to really help. She says, I'm just crying as I'm writing this letter. I don't know what to do. So much sorrow in this world. What am I to do about it? And yet I know I can't do anything about it, or not much at all. says, I just long for the peacefulness and simplicity in spring water. Which isn't so when you live here, there's also problems. Not just peacefulness and simplicity. It seems often a heavy burden to work together, live together. But maybe here, more of an opportunity to glimpse the beauty of silence, at easiness with the problems that are there and that are in the world. So my question was not right now to go into the problems that we experience. We can do that another time, or maybe it'll crop up later. But to ask, isn't there a noticeable urgency in each one of us when the thicket gets too thorny, too dark, too painful, too suffocating, to wonder about it? Not in our usual and well-trained analytical ways. Although I don't say that thinking is absent in quieting down in the midst of conflict and problem and difficulty and pain and sorrow. A peaceful cooperation of quiet looking and questions asked by thought and looking and wondering and pondering. What is the root of it all? What is the source of it all? Right now, as I'm sitting here, burdened as it seems, I'm not burdened right now by the problems of my life and of the world. What is it all about? And when that question takes a hold, it doesn't let go of us. We can't evade it. And maybe find a place like this or another or at home where one can sit down quietly, alone or with other people who feel that same urgency. Sitting in the eye of the hurricane, not knowing the answers, not denying the problem, just wondering, what is it all about? Is there an answer or is there no answer? I don't know. This is the state of entering into silence, into darkness. And this urgency may not be felt all the time. It may be overshadowed, overridden by activities, more superficial interests we have, and pleasurable things that this body seeks out. It seeks out pleasure, the body-mind, comfort, absence of pain, absence of fear. It tries to make a livable place for itself. But it never quite works. Something goes awry. And then an urgency again to wonder what went awry? What is going on? Silently, quietly, inwardly, without withdrawing from the world, which we're carrying in us. We can't withdraw from. That's what this person who wrote me this long letter said. She said, there isn't even any problem in my life. I'm doing very, very well. Business is going well. But I know miles from here there is sorrow and oppression and pain. And tears welling up. What is the meaning of all of this? This is a question that gripped me in my youth. What is the meaning of war and destruction and persecution? Death and dying for nothing except ideas. What's the meaning of it all? Does it have any meaning? Is there any meaning to life if it can produce such chaos, such cruelty, such alienation from each other, such hatred? I didn't know anything about spiritual training centers at the time, or Zen, or meditation, but the urgency was there. The question wouldn't let go. No one instilled it. The situation, life itself, brought it forth. So, even if one doesn't feel urgency right at this moment, one can trust that life will create it. Sooner or later, because things don't go the way we plan them and arrange them and want them to continue if they're pleasant and comfortable. Which brings up the other question. Somebody said, a few years ago, I had a realization. Someone very close had died or was dying. And the mind churning with this question, what can I do to help? Can I do something to help? And suddenly, out of nowhere, the realization of an inner transparency and the fullness of this moment of life. Everything here the way it is. Full. No problem, no separation. In the midst of this inner transparency, I may not reproduce it correctly, but everyone here, to one, some extent or other, at one time or other, has had this insight of the silence of it all, the wholeness, absence of problem-creating thoughts. And the person proceeded, I really want to find out whether this realization, which was so strong, so clear, can work in my daily life. Didn't say I want to get it back. How can I get it back? But can this realization of the undividedness, the fullness, the things being and people being the way they are, the trees the way they are, the leaves quivering, branches moving, people moving, quivering, laughing, angering, hating, loving, to see that it is all the way it is. Is that realizable in one's daily life? that's a strong question. Let it operate. Is it possible to see things the way they are? And wake up in one's daily life, in one's work relationship, home relationship, whatever. Wake up to the fact there's anything but that. There's already some vision, some animosity, some paranoia. They're doing this against me. Poor me. All the things that all of us participate in at one time or another. Waking up to the fact that this is going on and remembering the question, can this realization that there is truly no division, that everything and everyone is the way they are, remembering that realization and wondering, can this be seen to be true right now in the midst of agitation with people, against people? We know what we're finding ourselves in almost all the time. So see if it works. If, of course, what has already worked at a moment of coming to is that something in this flow of events, of interactions, stopped or was interrupted so that the memory surfaced of things being seen to be so different from the way the habitual mind stuff operates. All the imagery about you and me, how you are and how you're not treating me, and we know it all. And to wake up from that for a moment, not to justify it or rationalize it or deny it, but to wonder, where is this other realization? That people and things and myself and the whole world are just the way they are. Brimful with being and yet transparent. What does the mind do? In the face of such a turnaround, maybe just of thought at the moment, of idea. We're not divided, each one for himself or herself, but we're one whole being. What happens in the, even if it's just an intellectual turnabout? From division and atomization to wholeness. Play with it, find out. As we already said, it wasn't just thought, because something happened to interrupt this flow of habitual reaction, to become aware of it. And remember the question, can what was realized so clearly actualize right now? Function. Of course it can. I don't think there is a dream state, a sleep state deep enough that one couldn't potentially wake up from it. And wake up from it without immediately rationalizing it, explaining it, holding on to it, defending it. Has to be very wary of the movements of the mind to protect and defend, because they cover up a moment of openness to get into more of the same old rut. So, we're not saying that thinking about these things is useless. There has to be absolute silence, no thought in the mind for truth to manifest, to reveal itself. Somebody asked me this, or several people. Is thinking wrong? See, this is thinking in terms of right and wrong. Thinking can be a very helpful tool operating in transparency, in open space, to elucidate. To make something clear and visible that has been thought out clearly. See, we experience something deeply, and then thought comes in to formulate it. That is its function. It is the function of thinking to formulate what is deeply experienced wordlessly. We can't help doing it, sooner or later. And this is the stuff out of which talks are made of. Is it helpful to see something very clearly, intellectually, to also see it directly in oneself operating? Recently, any number of people, it's an amazing convergence of many people telling me that they have come upon the book by David Bohm called Thought as a System. In this retreat, too, before retreat, it's interesting how things sort of come in waves. An exquisite genius of a thinker formulating things that he has observed in the operation of thought and putting it forth for people to read, or while he was still living, to hear. Man was a theoretical physicist. And then maybe to wonder about it and to discover it operating in themselves, or discovering something different, not quite the way he put it. So there is a function to formulating something very clearly, so the intellect is not against us. It understands. It doesn't throw monkey wrenches into the way. And maybe more than understanding it, also, again, this urgency to see directly what the intellect has grasped clearly, which is already immensely discerning. To see the difference between intellectual formulation and the directness of seeing an image arise about me, being attacked, an image arising, protection, defense arising. Because a thought structure is being threatened, to see it directly and to understand it mentally can be a beautiful cooperation. And when a question like person brought up, is this insight realizable, and not just realizable, can it operate in my daily relationships? When a question like this comes up, how genuine is the interest to find out? And by genuine interest, I mean not just a passing fancy. Someone once said, I don't have any real questions, is all superficial stuff. It's not deep. And maybe there being the feeling, I ought to, being in a place of meditative inquiry, I really ought to have a good question. I'm not a valuable citizen or inquirer if I don't. This all needs to be watched, these thoughts and what they do in the body. So now I'll get myself a question, so I also become a valuable, worthy member of this, whatever. Somebody called it an institution the other day. Not here, somebody on the outside. Says, you're all attached to an institution. I didn't quite know what he meant. So, genuine interest means not just to serve an image, that one is valuable, whatever. It serves no image, it just runs on its own energy. Because we can't help inquiring this moment, what is going on? And this feeling so alienated, so defended, so confused. And falling silent with this question. Realizing that thinking about what is going on is not the same as falling silent with what is happening. Falling silent meaning the silence of resistance and interpretation and wanting to be rid of it. All wanting is in the way. What is going on? Without knowing. Maybe the question melts away. Maybe. Has it melted away? Because everything is the way it is. Without continuity. Just now. we will end here for today.